to have you with us, Brother Jamie.
Good to be here.
Lord be with you.
What a wonderful day.
Amen.
That your Lord has given us. You know, the Apostle Paul and other of the old brethren would use illustrations to prove a point. Real life illustrations. In Acts 26, Paul tells O King Agrippa about his experience. He said, O King, I was traveling in the noonday sun. And he told him the whole story, how the Lord struck him down. And Paul goes on and on. You can read it in Acts 26. We're not angels.
No.
This has been a long day.
Right.
So you can relax. I understand that. But the Lord uses illustrations many times when he teaches his people.
Sure he did.
But when the Apostle Paul got through, King Agrippa says, Paul,
almost.
Right. Through this illustration, he's already born of the Spirit, I think, King Agrippa.
Yeah.
Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be born again. Now, that's not what he said. Thou almost persuadest me to become a Christian. So if I could have your attention just a few minutes, and I love experiences.
Amen.
I had one the other week, and I talk a lot about you. Y'all know me. I had a wonderful thing to happen. It was Old Mill Church one day, and I look. Here comes a car, pulls up that I hadn't seen before. Four people get out. They said, we've been riding about this church for years, and we just wanted to come and see. And I explained to them about your Primitive Baptist. Well, they come back. Three Sundays. And then the fourth Sunday, they said, Brother Jamie, will you come and talk to us? I thought, yes. Somebody that wants to talk about the Scriptures.
Amen.
Do you know who? Do you know who I find in Danville? Y'all are not like this. That likes, at least, that wants to talk about Scriptures? Church folks, that's not good. Will you please come and talk to us? Absolutely. When do you want me to come? I said, I'm just coming for a casual visit. You know, they already brought me tomatoes.
Yeah.
I told Sister Dale, you used to do this, but look. You could just see the truth in their face. They're appreciating the things that we've kicked to the side.
Amen. A whole lot of them.
So I can't wait till Wednesday night comes, 6 o'clock. So here I go. We have our informal hello, and we walk a beautiful place over in Pennsylvania County. And we sit down. And Sister Harris says this. We're tired of this institutionalized, man-made religion. And we've heard you say something different. And we've got some questions. I'm thinking, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, this is good. I said, well, I may not have all the answers, but I'll get you the answers from some of my elder brothers because I've heard it. She said, we're tired of people playing and acting and letting the preacher have about 10 minutes. And she said, they're good people, Brother Gary. That's what we're talking about. You know, you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong.
Yeah.
Lord, carest thou not that we perish?
Yeah.
That's sincere as you can be.
Right.
You're thinking, Lord, we're going to die. Don't you care?
Right.
When the Lord told them, he told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee.
Right.
I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm the captain of the Lord's army, he told the children of Israel.
Sure.
So why would you say that?
Yeah.
You were sincere, but you were sincerely wrong. So I told these good people, some of these people are good, and I know them, but they're sincerely wrong with their doctrine. You know, it's many occasions John the Baptist says, are you really the one that should come?
Yeah.
Or should we look for another? But he was sincere. He was about to be beheaded.
Yeah, absolutely.
John wasn't without faith. He was tired.
Yeah.
You soldiers, I've said this before, when you got off a battlefield, you didn't say, all right, let's go find another battle. No, you get tired through life's journey. That's what John the Baptist was. But see, he was sincerely wrong asking that question. How could a God in heaven ever forget? Jeremiah, he says, listen, before I formed thee in the belly, and you've heard it preached, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He told his very first disciples, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you to go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain.
Amen.
He told his disciples in John chapter 17, maybe. For a little while, I'm going to go away. But I'll see you again. That's the God of heaven speaking. That means when we take this last breath, it is bad naturally. But the Lord of heaven said, I'm going to see you again. But Brother Jim's already said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God don't do anything halfway. He loved perfectly and he hated perfectly.
Amen.
Or it wouldn't be God.
Right.
Absolutely. Carest thou not that we perish? After this meeting with these good brothers and sisters, and they come back the next Sunday. I thought I'd have run them off. I looked in the scriptures all the times people ask questions. And about every occasion, they were sincere. And I'm not going to go through all of them, but they were sincerely wrong. Asking the God of heaven that he don't care about his people when he loves you with a perfect love. That's just not good. So here she comes. I got 3 or 4 questions for you. It's okay. How are we born again? How are we saved?
Good one.
She said, what's the old Baptist doctrine? She said, and the husband too. What's the purpose of the church if it don't save you for heaven? I said, I thought you had some hard questions. She said, we've been searching for 20 years. What do you mean they're not hard? I'm telling you, we've got scriptures in the Bible that we have just cast to the side. And we don't have to get so deep into it. It's plain. You've heard it preached here today.
It's growing simple.
Yeah.
Simplicity.
I said, Sister Harris, I'm so glad that you ask.
Yeah.
Yes, I love y'all already.
What a message.
If I run your way, I hope that I don't. Yeah. If I don't see you no more, I still love you.
That's right.
But I hope you'll come back. Yeah. She said, okay. What's the old Baptist doctrine? I said, simply, it's Matthew 1:21. Yeah. Anybody ever heard that?
Sure.
Listen, as I told these people that there's tears going down to their face. They've never heard this. They're searching. They're searching for that banquet in the house and for that place of peace. For thou shalt call his name Jesus. Sister Phyllis. Yes. For he shall. Yes.
He shall.
Save his people. Yes. From their sins. S.
Yes.
S-I-N-S. John said, look at him, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Yes. That means to completely the sin of his people.
Yes.
But the angel of the Lord says right here, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That means all aspects of sin, the guilt of sin, the eternity that's needed to present you to. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Listen, they are just eating it up and I'm just having the best time of my life. I think I've been died and went to heaven. Children of God that are rejoicing in the hope and the joy that we've taken for granted.
It's a blessing.
It's great.
Feed my little lamb.
Shall save his people from their sins. Oh, listen, children of God. I told them, listen. The Lord didn't just try to save you.
No, he didn't.
He's not called a savior because, and I explained to him, there's different salvations in the Old and the New Testament, the word salvation. But Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of God. This was a literal salvation for Pharaoh's army.
Absolutely.
Oh, it goes on and on and on. Hebrews 2 somewhere says, how should we neglect so great a salvation? There's a salvation you can neglect.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on and on. Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. Salvation is coming to your house. Why? Because you are son of Abraham and no other reason. You are a crooked tax collector, Zacchaeus. I know you're crooked. I know you're going to give double. I've heard the story. He tells Jesus, you know, if I've done all anything, I give him back double. Jesus don't want to hear that. The only reason salvation has come to your house is because the inheritance through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are son of Abraham. So the word salvation is used there. And I had to explain to these people that the word save means rescue or deliver, to protect and to make whole. And it's not always talking about heaven. No. Then I had their attention. Right. Yeah. Then I had their attention. So that's pretty much. We didn't go into a lot of stuff. But that's but what I mean, brother Sin, ain't that a simple way to say he's a savior? What are we sitting here for? To save, not to try to save? Right. That's old Baptist doctrine. We don't believe that he gave you a chance. He saved all of his people. From what? From their sins.
Every one of their sins.
Call his name Jesus. Oh, you're just having the best time. And I said, well, she said, well, how are we born again? Oh, this can't get no easier. I know what you're thinking. I know where you're going. John 3:8.
Yeah.
Well, that's simple, ain't it?
Yeah. When?
She said, we've never heard this. I said, there's a salvation taught in the scriptures that these men are so sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. When a man gets up before people in this earth and says that Jesus has died for you, and if you'll just submit, all of this comes to fruition. I can't even say it.
Fruition.
I'm just country. Nutrition. He is an abomination to the God of heaven. It's the doctrine of devils. Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, there's coming a time when the seducing spirits and men is going to be preaching doctrine of devils. What is that? Matthew chapter 4, there's a devil tempting our Lord. They're trying to tempt him. And he says, if thou be the Son of God, that's the doctrine of devil. Are you really who you say you are? If.
Yeah.
That's doctrines of devils.
He is who he is.
So when you got a preacher that says, all right, we're going to make this thing stick. You just submit and be baptized. Listen, children of God, it breaks my heart. My brother with, I got to tell it, Brother Gary. My brother with cancer has joined an Armenian church. Good, decent, good people that's cared for him and that's done for him remarkable things. He's going to be baptized Sunday. And I told him, I cannot come because that man is preaching doctrine of devils. That's hard, ain't it? What does that mean? If thou be the Son of God, thou shalt not surely die. Oh, and it hurts me bad. But you know what? This preaching ain't nothing to play with. Do you think, I asked Brother Gary this the other night, Brother Stan, oh, you brother, you think the same God of heaven that spoke this earth into existence called you to preach? Absolutely. It's serious stuff. So for me to smile and be up here with a man, and I don't care, oh, Jamie, but he's the best, and he is. He has come to see my brother. He's a wonderful man. He's sincere, but he's sincerely wrong. Jesus didn't offer you salvation. And it's not secure once you add to it. That if, that's what the devil said in Matthew chapter 3 or 4, if thou be the Son of God. That's what the devil said. So I told Sister Phyllis, Nicodemus was asked this question about the new birth, about being born again. Most people think I was born again in 1974. The Lord may have converted you. I don't know about all that. But the scripture says, the wind bloweth where it listeneth. Anybody ever heard that?
Sure.
I don't even have to say it.
Yeah, preach it.
Do we believe it?
Yeah.
Is that when we take a nap? If somebody got up and said, I'm going to take Matthew 1:21, I would have settled in my seat. Now, you know, I've heard that enough. I know all about it.
Can't hear it too much.
Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou can't hear the sound that, can't hear the sound thereof, but the whether that goeth or whether it cometh, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Amen.
Irresistible grace, Sister Phyllis, touched your heart and nothing else. And everybody's the same way.
Amen.
Oh, they're just eating it up.
Amen. Thank God.
Well, what's the... Oh, and we talked more than that. This has been the most wonderful meeting I've been in. And the preaching has been heartfelt.
It's been good.
It gives me thoughts. I mean, it's been preaching and power and demonstration of the Spirit. I'm telling you. It has been, the Lord has blessed us today. Well, what's the purpose of the gospel? If it's not to save people for heaven. Here it is. I thought you had something hard. 2 Timothy 1:9. Is that not?
Yeah, that's what we believe.
Oh, by the way, let's look at the order of this. Who be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will be a partaker of the affliction, who hath saved us and called us. The saving come first and then the calling.
Amen.
Who hath saved us. And listen, just stick with me. I know you've heard this.
Who has saved us.
But they were crying like babies.
Amen. So was I.
You know what? If you've never been broke, you don't know when somebody says, hey, Brother Jamie, Brother so-and-so, I've got $100 for you. Do you need it? Well, if you've got $5,000, oh, I'll take it. But if you're broke, it's a miracle, ain't it?
Yes, yes.
And like it's already been preached, if we don't realize that we're undone sinners, this won't mean much to us.
Right.
But if you're a child of God that's been out of this world, yeah, and the man's institution has had their hand on you, and you walk into an old Baptist church, yeah, and that just didn't happen. Listen, Acts chapter 16, Paul and the brethren wanted to go different places, but the Lord says, oh no, I've got to work for you. There's a woman named Lydia, and there's an old jailer that I'm sending you to. So you're not going to Mysia. You're not going to Bithynia, whatever. You're going to Macedonia. So I think the Lord absolutely didn't, is not the author of my sin, but He works in our lives directly.
He sure does. Yes, I believe that.
Who hath saved us and called us,
yes,
with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Let's go back over here. It is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. See, they've never heard this. What's the purpose of the gospel? To illuminate what's already here. I've heard that. The reason I can quote it, I've heard it all for 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're saying, why haven't we heard this? That's the purpose of the church. And I said, Sister Phyllis and Sister and Brother Johnny, I got something better than that for you. Oh, I'm on a roll now. Listen, we was 2 hours.
Wow.
We're not going to be 2 hours. I said, supposing these preachers tell you, listen, if you don't hang on, if you don't join the church, if you're not baptized. I said, oh, by the way, did you know tithing is not a New Testament practice?
Amen.
Giving is, and if you think it is, please show me. I said, we're absolutely to give according to our ability.
Sure.
But the practice they got your thumb on you on,
yeah,
is not scriptural.
No. Amen.
I said, what happens as preachers tell you, listen, if you're backslidden, you better come back. If we got to get to this hospital room before it's too late, there's no hope for you if you don't repent. I said, I got some good news for you. Now, y'all know what it is already. 2 Timothy 2:19. Their faith has been overthrown. The resurrection is gone. You're nothing like dogs. And when it's over, it's over. But nevertheless, this was icing on the cake. The foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His.
Amen.
Listen, we were sitting around like a bunch of kindergarten crying on the first day of school.
Amen.
The most wonderful. Now, they asked a lot more questions than that. But I'm just saying, we've got a wonderful gospel.
Amen.
And we've got a gospel that absolutely, it's a mystery, Paul says. But you know what? The Lord has left His word for us, where we can read of His sovereignty and of His will and where we fit in. And you know, if we'll just read it and be faithful reading it, He'll show us the truth.
Amen.
So they told me that we love you. And give me another bag of tomatoes. And I got, you know how the old devil is. Oh, he ain't real. Brother Gary, I got that from you. When I'm at Old Mill, when I went on, I said, if didn't nobody read the scriptures last week, if you spend all your time on Facebook, Brother Gary taught me this, I'll do the congregation like this. Shame on you. So I told him. I just knew the old devil. He started working on me that next night. You ever wake up in the middle of the night? That's when he bothers me. Oh, I wake up that, you know. Oh, big mouth, you done run them off. They ain't coming back. Oh, they smiled and said, we love you, but they're not coming back. Well, they come back. And I want to tell them the best of my ability what of the Lord would have me, not only them, but the whole congregation.
Sure.
Because we've got children of God. Listen, I sat in a whole lot of classrooms, but that don't mean I was always listening.
Right. Amen.
But what a wonderful, you could see it in their face. I don't know that they'll ever join the church, but they asked about baptism.
I know.
They asked about the communion service. We want to come. Absolutely. I explained to them how it works.
Yes, sir.
They know that they've got to be baptized into the faith. And it's just not a walk in like at the convenience store. Walk in and get what you want. But they understand. And John said, I agree with that. John said, I was baptized a year ago. I said, well, Johnny, if something happens to Phyllis, you can't use the same ceremony. Oh, Judge, I've been married one time. No. This is something new. This is a new love. We've got to do this again. So I explained to him, and I just knew that was going to be the kicker.
Yeah.
That, you know, to come to the old Baptist, we got to go to Birch Creek.
Yeah.
And Johnny looked at Phyllis and said, I told you that was right. That didn't hurt me. These are questions people don't ask.
Right. I know.
So I hope they'll be there. Fifth Sunday we're having our communion. All of y'all come to Old Mill in Danville, the other side of Danville. You know, the Lord works in our lives. Me and Brother Gary was talking, coming here in 1778 or something. There was a man called Samuel Harris. There was a man called John Creel. He was the first pastor of Birch Creek, which is Mill Church, which was Old Mill Church today. And guess what association we were in? The Catoctin Association.
Yep.
Samuel Harris come up this way and preached. Did he?
Yeah,
here.
He was instrument. He's the one who baptized the first members of this church.
Samuel Harris was from Danville, Virginia, Chatham, Virginia, and come all the way up here. And here I am, 240 years later, and I hope preaching the same gospel that they did. I love y'all. If somebody tells you I don't, they just told you a story. Pray for me. It's been a wonderful, wonderful week, and I appreciate you preaching so much. I love y'all. May the Lord bless all of you and keep you is my prayer.
There's a hymn, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Somebody know the number of that?
126, maybe.
I don't know, but I want to sing. I love you too, brother.
Enjoy that, brother. God bless you. Love you.
That's preaching.
I love you, brother.
126.
What is it, 126?
They're wading the water. They're wading the water.
Right on my heart, every word. We've been richly blessed today. We'll stand and sing 126 and publish Open Doors of Church. And whether it be with this church, any sister church is represented. Stand and sing 126.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Right on my heart, every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell me the story in chorus, sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest.
Concerned with how many preachers will be here and staying with us. And, just appreciate each and every one who's come to be with us here tonight, those that have been with us today, and above everything, the Lord. He's richly blessed us with a tongue of utterance to preach and ears to hear and sweet fellowship. You know, all of that's so precious.
Amen.
And sometimes, as Brother Jamie said, we as old Baptists, we take that for granted. When some have never heard. Brother Jamie.
Hey, Gary, I didn't mean the gospel was easy. Oh, I meant the truth as laid down in the Bible is real there.
Brother,
is what
Brother
I
Jamie,
said.
You didn't have to explain
that. I know that, but I said it was easy. I didn't mean that.
Yeah, you don't mess that up.
No, I didn't mean it was easy.
That was later. The Lord was in there.
Don't, you know don't,
you
can't,
you just leave that. There's a simplicity that's in Christ.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That is so simple and plain, yeah. And yet it's hidden from the wise and prudent.
Yeah, right.
I'm telling the little babes that are hungry, that understand their sin.
Absolutely.
There's no message like it.
That's right.
And I just rejoice whenever I hear situations like that and pray that God would just fill us with that.
He's the only one who can break hearts. And he's the one who's given us the hot gospel, which is balm. As balm, is there balm in Gilead? Yes, there is. There is balm.
That's right.
Good
job.
There's an answer.
Amen.
Thank God for that. All minds clear. I ask Brother Mike to dismiss us in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's continued blessing on us.
Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we know you were here, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son, Lord, and the gift of your presence, Lord. There's nothing like it in the world.
Yes, Lord.
We're so very grateful for your church, Lord, and for your children. We're so very grateful, Lord, to be amongst your children, Lord, in this world. And the light is your light, Lord, that we see within them. And the love, Lord, that you give us for them, Lord. Dear Lord, we're so grateful to be able to call you Father.
Yes, Lord.
We know, Lord, we're so unworthy of at least divine mercies, Lord. Instead of getting what we deserve, Lord, we went to a fair place for us.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
That we would be with you one day, Lord. That's how much you love us. That's how much you love us now. Died on the cross, Lord, and suffered unimaginable pain, Lord. In the shadow of the cross, Lord, you said, be not afraid. And took care of it all, Lord, and made a way where there was none. Just like you have every day of our lives, Lord. We're so very grateful. As the brother said, Lord, we're so sorry for taking so many things for granted. Please forgive us, Lord. Help us to be grateful, Lord. In reality, we should be the happiest people in the world and the most grateful, Lord, for we have the greatest gift there ever is and will be, and it's you. Forgive us, Lord, for taking this and so many things for granted. We are so grateful with all we have, Lord, all our being. We're so very grateful, especially, Lord, for your grace and for the truth, setting us free, Lord, from all the bondage, Lord, of false doctrine. Thank you, Lord, and forgive us, Lord, for taking it for granted. We thank you so very much for thy holy presence, Lord, and that perfect peace, Lord, spoken over in Isaiah, and for allowing us to know it, to know you, Lord. And dear Lord, forgive us, Lord, for we can't thank you how we want to, Lord, in this world. The words, Lord, will never mean what we want them to say in our heart, Lord. So we are grateful, Lord. We're so very grateful and thankful for everything, every good and perfect gift, Lord, that comes from thee. Forgive us, Lord, of our filthy rags. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Dear Lord, please be with us. And throughout all the other meetings, Lord, we pray that you would be with us as only you can, Lord. That your love will be felt, Lord, in an undeniable way, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Gary, this is the best of the good. I'm inside the grave.
Amen, brother.